So the first group that we're going to talk about is there were some that came to worship the king. As this scene unfolds, the crowd is actually beginning to be a pretty large crowd. Josephus, the Jewish historian, would say that sometimes it would range around a crowd of 2.7 million people in Jerusalem around the Passover time. These people were excited at the prospect of Jesus coming. When the people saw Jesus coming down the road, they took branches of palm trees, and according to Mark 11:8, they also laid their robes on the road for Jesus. The folks who did this were here to worship the king. These faces in the crowd recognized that Jesus was something special. When the crowd was crying out, "Hosanna," they weren't offering up a salutation. What they were doing was sending a message. This phrase was more of a statement of praise. This phrase is more of a statement of praise and joy over the presence of Jesus. The word Hosanna means, "Oh, save us." As I stated earlier, the Jews were people who were longing to see a deliverance from Rome. And Jesus is now looking like the one who can do that for them. So this morning, what about yourself today? When you were a face in the crowd, were you looking to Jesus to deliver you from something bad in your life? Do you look to Jesus as the one who has the power to deliver you from the oppression you are or could be facing? We know that these faces in the crowd were there to worship because not only were they crying out to Jesus to save them, but they added, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." These folks were acknowledging that Jesus was from God. The Jews at this point were starting to think that this was their long-awaited Messiah. This part of the verse is a quote from Psalm 118, 25, and 26. And this psalm was traditionally used by pilgrims on their way to the temple. Verses 25 and 26 of Psalm 118 says, "Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord." This phrase is theologically significant because it tells us that these faces in the crowd understood what was going on. They saw that Jesus was not here on his own accord, but rather that the Father had sent him. And as we've talked about over the past several weeks now, all of 2020, Jesus was called to reveal God to us. If we've seen God, or if we've seen Jesus, we've seen God. And we get that from John 14:9. There Philip asks Jesus, he says, "Show us the Father." And Jesus said to him, "I've been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Well, by acknowledging that Jesus was sent from God, they also called him King of Israel. That statement would be later used against him in his trial before Pilate, but as we know, Pilate will have he won't get caught up in that argument. He saw this as just jealousy as part of the religious leaders of the Jews. Another issue let's touch upon is just Jesus riding in on that donkey. This should include the crowd in that Jesus was not here to be a military hero, but rather a man of peace who would lead a spiritual kingdom. John, in his account, does not focus on the procurement of the donkey, but rather the prophetic semblance or significance of the donkey. You look at Zechariah 9:9, and there the Bible records Zechariah 9:9 saying, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Even though these faces were here to worship Jesus, they did not fully understand what Jesus was all about. I think that we tend to do the same thing sometimes. It's hard to wrap ourselves around what really Jesus is all about. It can be a hard thing to fathom. You look at what John states concerning the mindset of the disciples in verse 16. Verse 16 says his disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had to be done to him. They couldn't fully comprehend what was happening at the time. Of the faces in the crowd who were here to worship Jesus online now, I wonder how many of us would be in the same crowd today, cheering for Jesus, and then in just a few more days, crying out for his crucifixion. I know that we wouldn't outright call for Jesus' crucifixion, but when we choose not to live for the Lord, we choose then to crucify Christ. We do a very similar thing. The writer of Hebrews would say in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, that it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted in the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and to have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. Let's look at verses 17 and 18 of John chapter 12 for the motivation of the next set of the faces in the crowd. Verse 17 says, "The crowd that had been with him when he was called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was they had heard he had done this sign." So some came because they wanted to get something from the king. When we look at what John says is the reason they came, it was because they had heard of Lazarus being raised from the dead. Now, those who had witnessed this awe-inspiring event could not stop telling others about it, and it's no wonder why. This shows that some of the faces in the crowd were there to get something for themselves. Maybe it was a miracle performed, or who knows what. What we can see is that some of the faces in the crowd were enamored by what Jesus had done, and they were hoping to see Jesus do something. They flocked to Jesus because of what he had done, but their enthusiasm was short-lived, and their commitment was shallow. And even for the ones that were here to worship the King of Israel, many of them wanted Jesus to deliver the nation from the tyranny of Rome. Now, they were not there to make a personal commitment to Jesus. Probably today there are many who come to Jesus with a shallow commitment or short-lived enthusiasm for Christ. Some come to Jesus simply because they want something from him. And that of itself is not totally bad. If you want Jesus to save you from your sins, to give you eternal life, that's good. But when we come to Jesus to get something and we are not willing to make a commitment to him, then we are missing the boat. Over time, our relationship with Jesus should grow. When you have a relationship with Jesus, you should be different. You act differently than the world. You live differently than the world. You think differently than the world. And hopefully you treat people differently than the world does. Sitting in church for years does not guarantee an automatic commitment or life-changing relationship with Jesus. That happens over time when we commit ourselves to grow. We all need to grow closer to Jesus. And when we stop realizing that, our relationship stops growing. A person commented once to Jesus will have a person committed to Jesus will have a sweet spirit about them. Suffice to say, some faces in the crowd were just there to get something. They weren't there to commit their lives to Christ. So let's conclude with the final faces in the crowd in verse 19. "So the Pharisees said to one another, 'You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him.' Some came to oppose the king. In the faces of the crowd, there were religious leaders who had had enough of Jesus. They were ready to kill him because he was cutting into their attention. As the Pharisees observed the crowd, they now know they can no longer contain the movement. Jesus' followers are not just a group of Galileans, but they surmise that the world has gone after him. These religious leaders wanted nothing to do with the Messiah. They wanted their territory, no matter what the cost was. They were going to guard their turf. There will be those faces in the crowd still that want to do the same. They want nothing to do with Jesus because it would mean they would have to be accountable to someone other than their own desires and appetites. They will fight with every ounce of their being to keep Jesus out. 2 John verse 9 reminds us that everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. When we do not abide by Jesus' teachings, we do not have God. If we abide by Jesus' teachings, then the opposite is true. We do have God. These religious leaders were religious in title only. They were, in truth, they were godless men. If you were a face in the crowd this morning at this wonderful event, think about this morning where you would be. My prayer is that we would be there to worship the Son of God. We will not fully understand everything about Jesus in one day, but I think as we continue to grow, we will understand more and more. Will you bow with me in prayer? Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we again thank you for today, Father, for the blessings that we have in this life. We thank you for this avenue that while we cannot meet together physically, that we can still meet together online and worship you. And we pray that the things that we have said and done have been in your accordance and are pleasing to you. Father, we ask that you be with Dane and the Kreitz family right now in their time of loss. We pray your blessings upon them and your comfort that only you can provide. Father, we thank you for the birth of Avonlea, and we pray blessings upon her as she grows into a young lady. Father, we thank you for the church here at Colcord and the area churches here. We pray that you continue to bless us as we continue to strive to do your will. Father, we pray for the sick. We pray for those that are abroad spreading your word or in the military sense. Father, that you be with them. Bring them home safe if it be your will. We do all these things in the name of Christ. Amen.